This is the story of digital identity, episode number 30 for June 7th, 2006. Okay, jumping right into the Frapper Map editions this week. A fellow by the name of Catalog, C-A-T-A-L-O-G, from Busan, South Korea, added himself on May 30. Serge Thibault from, or maybe that's Thibault, from Quebec, Canada, added himself on May 31st. John Bristow from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, June 3rd, added himself. And last, Muli Koppel from Tel Aviv, Yafo, Israel. He writes, although the show revolves around the same topic, there's always a provocative, innovative, instructive idea waiting to be picked up. Therefore, chapeau and thanks. All right, cool. So those are the Frapper Map editions. Not much activity around the Bill Gates idea, so I'm not going to let that one die. I think what I'm going to shift to is more of a system whereby I find ways to let listeners create or just submit podcast ideas and then benefit in some economic way from doing so. So rather than trying to promote this podcast and spend money like on Google and things like that, I'm thinking of just creating a system whereby I, just in order to get increased audience and things like that, just basically try to incent people to participate and generate voting around ideas that they submit. So I'm kind of playing with that concept, and I will be talking about it more in the future. I'm not going to post anything or do anything this week, but I'm thinking about it and kind of pondering the different permutations of what a system like that might entail. Because I'm kind of hesitant to go right to an advertising type system. Although I've had some interest from advertisers that would like to do something on this podcast. I'm holding off on that. So that's what I'm going to do for now. Okay, and now for just a couple of announcements regarding conferences, upcoming conferences. First is the Identity Mashup hosted at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. That's coming up on June 19th and runs through the 21st. Registration costs between $450 for corporations, I think $250 for individuals or nonprofits, and $50 for students. Again, that's June 19th through 21st, and all the big names in identity will be there. So if you're in the Northeast or not, it's a terrific, will be a I think a terrific conference to go to and check out. And I think there's going to be open space there during some part of the conference that Kalia Hamlin runs, and that's been very popular. So look for that. Also, on July 20th and 21st in Vancouver, British Columbia, an open space in association with Liberty Alliance. And again, Kalia Hamlin, I think, is running part of that. And that's the 20th and 21st in Vancouver, British Columbia. I don't have prices on that, but I'll put up show notes that have links to those, both of those events. So if you're interested in going to those, you'll be able to find that information quite easily. Okay, and now transitioning to this week's interview, I speak with Fred Stutzman, who is a doctoral candidate at the University of North Carolina School of Information and Library Science and is one of the founders of Claim ID. And if you're not familiar with Claim ID, it was motivated by the notion that search engines have been having the final say about our identities for too long. And so they've built a system, Fred and some of the other founders have built a system that allows one to more easily manage information about oneself. And just quoting from their website, Claim ID lets you classify, annotate, prioritize, and share the information that is about you so that people who search for you are able to see the identity you want to present. It's really a simple idea, and we've worked hard to build a system that is incredibly easy to use so that just about everyone can benefit from Claim ID. For me, one of the interesting things that came out of my interview with Fred was a discussion around some research he's done at UNC regarding the usage patterns of college-age students today regarding privacy and the way that they use online systems to create networks of friends and things like that, and that's informed the design of Claim ID, and I think that aspect of it is particularly interesting in addition to the work that they've done in building the system. So here comes that interview. Hope you enjoy it. Here it is. So, Fred, can you give us just a brief description of what Claim ID is?
Sure. Claim ID is a way for you to talk about the things that are about you online. And so the general idea is, if you have sort of an online identity, you maybe have some articles that mention your name or a blog post that you've commented on, or you know, maybe a school project that you've taken part in. When somebody searches for your name, that sort of stuff is going to come up. Now, there are a couple problems with this. One is, you may share a name with somebody, and it's going to be hard for somebody to disambiguate between who you are and who that other person is. Also, the stuff that is about you online may actually not have your name. So, I mean, if you think about a more holistic picture of identity, well, sure, my this article that mentions me is about me, and this this project that I participated in is about me. But, I mean, if a detective was trying to get a picture of me, they'd want a lot more than like these little bits and pieces. So, like, I mean, the things that are about you on the web, I mean, could be where you've gone to school, the companies you've worked at, the friends you have. There's so many different parts of what your identity can be. We figured that it would be sort of neat to let people piece that identity together. And at the same time, if they wanted to, they could say, hey, this stuff matches my name, but it's not about me. This is about another person, and I just wanted to point that out. And really, what we wanted to do was we wanted to sort of create a model where we got people thinking about this, because we think it's really important. I did a job interview once where I gave them my resume, and I expected to get a lot of questions about my resume. Well, I went through 7 hours of interviews with 10 different people, and during that time, the questions that came up the most were what was about me online, the projects I participated in, that sort of stuff. Now, my name is fairly uncommon. My dad shares my name, and so does my grandfather, so I have a whole history of disambiguation. But the stuff that's about me generally is, if you Google my name, that stuff's going to come up, and it's going to be about me. But there are a ton of people who could lose out.
And your interviewers were asking you based on Google searches they did about you, basically? I mean, this wasn't information you'd proactively given them.
No. They Googled me, and they were asking me questions about it. So imagine if, you know, there was something you were uncomfortable with about you online, or someone else had done something and used your name, that sort of thing. Now, there's no way to control it. I mean, we can't make things go away. But we wanted to actually get people to start thinking, well, maybe if you start talking about it, put a little context around it, describe it, and actually sort of make this step where people actually start talking about the things that are about them online, it's a new way of looking at things. And obviously, people have been doing this for a long time. There are plenty of people out there who, you know, run their own websites and you know, make lists of their links and talk about who they aren't. I mean, people have been doing this for a long time, and they'll continue to do this. But we were really thinking about doing this for the average everyday user. That's why the application is very simple. The reason is we really wanted people who you know, the MySpace profile or Blogger blog, that sort of thing, this sort of real, I guess you'd say, sort of long tail of people who are starting to put their identities online. We wanted them to start thinking about how they manage that and do it in a really simple way that doesn't really require you to invest a ton of effort, but you get a lot back. That's really what we wanted to do, and we're working towards accomplishing that.
Okay, and just briefly, I, as an end user that would be a Claim ID customer, presumably would go to claimid.com, set up an account, and then once that's set up, I can then start basically collecting information about myself there, sort of like as an aggregation point about information about me.
That's absolutely right. What somebody does is they'll log into Claim ID, they'll get an account. And what we've done is we've written this big document about how to search for yourself. I mean, okay, you know, probably you and I and most of your listeners know how to go about this, but a lot of people out there don't. So we've written a big document on how people can search for themselves and find their names. And we've also given them a lot of recommendations for how to track their names, you know, using Technorati and Google Alerts, that sort of thing. So basically giving people that education on how to find themselves and how to track themselves. And then once you've found yourself, you can put it into Claim ID, put that context around it, prioritize it. So, for example, there are a bunch of links about your work. You can put it into a group about your work. Links from your days at school. You can put them into your school links, that sort of thing. Essentially, you can create a little bit of a link resume for yourself. And then, you know, just like your photo gallery or your delicious links or, you know, any other service on the web, then you link to it from your blog or your website. And when people come to your website, then they can click on your little Claim ID icon and say, oh, and here are the things that are about, you know, Joe Smith online, and actually get the picture of your online identity that you want to present as opposed to the search engine.
Got it. And jumping off sort of the central point of what Claim ID is, I last night I watched a Google video that you have. I don't know who posted. I don't know if it was you or somebody else actually, but about some research that you did regarding Facebook, and you came to a lot of interesting conclusions based on the usage patterns of Facebook, and I'm wondering ultimately how that research about Facebook influenced either the creation and design of Claim ID. Ultimately, and maybe first, can you just highlight some of the sort of the key findings of that research? Because I think a lot of it might be interesting to the audience that listens to this podcast.
Sure, that's the Google video is a Google Tech Talk that I gave about 2 weeks ago on in Mountain View, and what it did is it summarized a study that I did over the course of the last semester. So August through December of 2005. And what I did is I studied the use of Facebook.com by the freshmen here on UNC Chapel Hill's campus, where I'm a student. So what I wanted to do was sort of basically figure out how freshmen use the Facebook. I had run a pilot study earlier in the year, in 2005, and I found that 90% of the undergraduates on campus were using the Facebook. And so this was sort of before the Facebook was this media phenomenon, so that really just blew me away. I had no idea. So I wanted to study the use of how the freshmen adopted it. And what I found was that Facebook is used incredibly often by an incredibly large percent of students. I think at the end of the semester, it was used by 95% of the freshmen. And really, that's probably a virtual 100% sort of when you think about it. And it was basically this very important part of the students' social lives. So, I mean, I'll digress on that for just a second. A lot of people, when they talk about online social networks, they say something to the extent that, well, online social networks are taking the place of real, you know, face-to-face communication. And on a campus like UNC's or really anywhere, that's absolutely not the case. It's basically acting as an augmentative. It acts as an augmentative device, I guess, for the students. And so what I mean by that is when these students come to campus, they've lost their social networks. You know, they've left their friends behind. And they've got this whole world of people around them that they want to explore. And so in doing so, they use the Facebook to explore all the people they meet in their classes and their friends and their friends of friends. And because this is sort of the most interesting thing in the world to the students who are in the process of finding this whole new group of friends, the Facebook becomes this invaluable resource. And, You know, they use it frequently, and the freshmen in particular come to rely on it sort of as a lifeboat as they go through their college experience. And as a result, obviously, this is sort of changing the dynamic nature of, you know, how we do friend making in college and that sort of thing. And so when I looked around and I sort of sampled and I thought about, you know, between Friendster, I'm sorry, Facebook and MySpace and, you know, the 18 million people that have signed up for blogs, and I think about all the information that people are disclosing publicly, and they're also doing it by publishing comments to people's blogs, and I mean, the students who are in college now are putting their names all over the internet, and I've certainly had plenty of friends that were sort of uncomfortable with how their identity was represented because, you know, when they were 18, they might have said something that they're a little bit embarrassed by when they're 21 and they're trying to get a job. So that really got me thinking of how are we going to deal with this problem? And I'm in the information science program, so basically all I do is sort of think about our relationship with the information that's about us. And in doing that, I sort of said, well, I mean, we can't, there are a couple problems we can't solve. I mean, we cannot solve the fact that people share names. Claim ID can't solve that problem. We can't solve the problem that if somebody posts something about you online and it goes into a search engine, we can't make it go away. I mean, you can hire a lawyer to do that, but we can't solve that problem either. But what we can do is we can start to give people this sense of empowerment that they can take stuff about them and essentially create their vision of their online identity. And the nice thing about it is with Claim ID, then that can go back in and influence the search engines for them. So we're basically sort of starting this process of, you know, dealing with the fact that so many people are putting their identities online, and we're starting to give them really simple tools to manage that identity. And I think that's sort of how the genesis of Claim ID came about.
And there's one point, one data point that I think is relative to the comments that you're making. And the data point that I got from your talk was that Facebook provides some privacy settings, and apparently only 5% of all of the users of Facebook had turned those privacy settings on at the end of your study.
That's right. And
and so the point, I guess the point I want to underline there is there's the distinction between people desiring privacy, so complete control over their information, versus the notion that they want accurate or up-to-date information about themselves. And if your study is any indication of, you know, the future generation's use of new technologies, it seems less, at least, of a concern over total privacy and control of the information, rather that it be, and more of an emphasis on its accuracy.
Here, that's exactly a point that I like to talk about. The thing is, I think if you talk to people who have been around the net for a long time, sort of older, they have a totally different conception of identity than the young people do. It is completely different. The young people have been living their entire lives online in a public place. And whether that public place is in front of their friends, their family members, or the entire net, they've been doing it, they're comfortable with it, they get the nuance, and a lot of them don't have the same issues that most people who are sort of older do. The people who are young on the net understand that there's a lot of social capital to be gained from playing the net game, from having your identity out there. So it isn't so much controlling it and making it so that people can't see it. It is controlling it and making it that you can have some control over it and verify what's about you, what's not about you. And I think that's exactly the key point. This is really a product built for that generation, and there are so many of them.
And that leads me to the next question. And I read a little bit of your FAQ, et cetera, on claimid.com. And this is a criticism not only from me, but that because Claim ID allows anybody to sign up and then sort of tag information that exists about them on the net, that also provides the, or allows for people to claim things about themselves that may not actually be true. So, you know, I could claim, you know, some website and say, well, I created this thing, and there's no mechanism for authenticating that would be true. So how do you approach that criticism?
Well, it's a very real criticism, and it's a criticism that obviously transcends Claim ID. This is the thing about the net. The net is an open place. There's very loose structure. You can't control what people do. But so here's the interesting thing. We've always couched Claim ID in saying that, well, you know, we don't want Claim ID to be your homepage. We don't want, you know, necessarily Claim ID to be the place that, you know, we don't want to take that role over. You know, your homepage can be your blog or whatever, you know, place you create. Mm-hmm. That's fine. We're not trying to take that away from you. We want you to sort of give your trust to Claim ID by linking to it, just like you link to your pictures or, you know, anything else on the net. And so getting to your point about, you know, people representing themselves truthfully, there's sort of an interesting thing that the youths do. And that is in social networking services like the Facebook, there is a high degree of truth. So people aren't lying because they realize that the online and the offline merge, especially in the context of social networks. You know, when you are online and basically, you know, you don't know the people around you, you can be whoever you want. But when you are online and you do know the people around you and you know they're looking at your stuff, there's a really high incentive to make that stuff be true. Now, this isn't to say that, you know, everything students write in the Facebook or any of these sites are true, because there's a lot of in-jokes, a lot of cultural sort of... basically, it sort of boils down to in-jokes mm-hmm. and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. But when it comes to, say, a student who creates a Claim ID and you know, they claim a website they didn't create, well, there's outcomes from that, and the students get that. I mean, this is... Obviously, when you start dealing with identity, you do get into a bunch of issues that that are complex and that people can't really abstract from the fact that identity is about a person. But we really are thinking sort of that links are just another part of the whole identity. Mm-hmm. And your whole identity is made up of all the things about you online, your galleries, your blog, your webpage, your social networking profiles. This is just a part of it. And the young people conceptualize this, but a lot of people who have been around think about that a little differently. And it's certainly a valid criticism. And we're really working pretty hard to try and address all these things. It's not lost on us, because we want to create a space that is, you know, essentially people can trust and can come to and know that they're going to get good information from.
Yeah, it strikes me that perhaps the Claim ID model and approach is highly applicable to certain to a given set of contexts where there is a high degree of interaction between sort of the online representations of one's identity and the offline version, so that when those two things, because those two things do come together frequently, that's a disincentive from you know, amplifying sort of the claims made of one's online identity. Whereas in other contexts, say, you know, in financial settings, et cetera, where perhaps the online and the offline possibly don't merge, that there's less significance for a Claim ID kind of an approach.
That's right. And this is the thing. We're going towards this. And the young people are moving this direction. When you look at someone's blog, I mean, this is their identity. And you know, if they want to start claiming things that aren't theirs, they devalue their worth. Now, this is sort of an interesting thing about Claim ID. We've built it to be very loose. We've built it to be very lightweight. We did this for a reason. There are certain problems that people have worked on solving for a long, long time that are obviously still being discussed. How do you verify someone? How do you handle true authentication? The Identity 2.0 community is working really hard on this, and there are so many great issues and ideas that are being worked on right now. The Yadis and Lib communities, people like Skip. It's really actually quite inspirational for us, because what they're doing is they're creating an entire loose identity infrastructure that a company like Claim ID can actually benefit from. We actually can sit on top of that identity stack and use the lightweight and distributed authentication and verification that the Identity 2.0 community is doing. And, you know, we're essentially building an Identity 2.0 application on top of Identity 2.0. Mm-hmm. I think the things are coming together at such a wonderful time, and the hard questions are getting answered. And we can plug Claim ID into those things and give people that sense of verification that they want. And we're working on that right now, actually.
And so we're getting close to the end here, but one or two final questions. One is, it based on reading from your website, that you guys are planning to transition to a pay model. So in other words, I, as an end user that wants a Claim ID, would then pay you guys, I think it's $5 a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the notion there is that because you facilitate an end user's ability to organize and correct and comment on all the identity related information online, that's something that people will increasingly want to pay for. That there's a great deal of value there, and therefore it's not an advertise. I guess ultimately what I'm trying to ask you is why a pay model rather than say an advertising based model.
Okay, well, I'll try and answer this quickly. Yep. There's a number of reasons, and we're still sort of trying to figure out the pay model. That was an original idea. It had a number of valuable things. One is by setting a very low barrier to entry. I mean, this is a valuable service. We do a number of valuable things. For example, we'll cache all the links about you. So if there's a newspaper article that mentions your name and you claim it, you'll have a permanent cache of it in Claim ID that you can refer to for the next 20 years, that sort of thing. Whereas you have to pay to get it out of an archive. There's a number of value adds that we provide that we think are actually pretty valuable. Another thing about charging is that, this service costs money to run, and it's a valuable service. We think it's valuable. And also, by setting this the barrier entry very low, but having a barrier to entry, we think it'll keep out people who want to spam and create false profiles, that sort of thing. Now, it won't keep everybody out. We realize that. But it'll keep the spam in the system down. But we're not at that point yet. We haven't developed the product enough that we feel comfortable in that people will pay for it. And I'll be completely honest about that. We have to figure this out. But what we're doing, which is sort of different from other companies, is we're listening to the audience, we're figuring out what they want, and we're going to build services according to their needs. And, we may never charge the average user to use it. I mean, Claim ID will always be free for people to use. The $5 just sort of covers value adds,
okay,
trying to, monetize 10% of your user base, that sort of
Got
idea.
It.
Claim ID will always be free for people to use. But we think that this is a proposition for the next 10, 20 years. The stuff that's about you is going to be online about you for the rest of your life. And, that programming project you did when you're, 18 years old, if it's still showing up in the top of search engines when you're 40 and you're, obviously a more distinguished engineer, that sort of thing, we're going to have a relationship with the information about us online, and we think it's worth people investing in.
Okay, great. And a last question, I know there's claimid.com where you're actually providing the services that we've been talking about. Are there other locations for finding information out about what you guys are doing and what direction you're heading in, et cetera?
Well, definitely the Claim ID page will discuss our ideas. Our blog is at blog.claimid.com, and you know, in the blog we share our thoughts and talk about where we're going and basically, I don't know, just sort of try and do the corporate blogging thing and try not to be annoying. and also on the blog we keep a list of all the bloggers who have covered us, and you know it's well over 200 now, and we've only been out of beta for a month or two. So, or in beta for a month mm-hmm. or two. We're not out of mm-hmm. beta. So we bookmark the good and the bad because we learn from the good stuff, and we definitely learn from the criticism. And you know, there are plenty of people out there who you know want to knock the idea, and that's fine. And you knock it constructively, and we can build something from this. This is a problem that we're going to have to deal with. So I think if a number of us come together and start dealing with it, we'll actually create something that benefits people. So definitely the blog is a great resource, and obviously if you want to look in Technorati and look us up, you can find a lot more people who are talking about us. So definitely. The conversation is going, and we're trying to be part of it.
Excellent. Well, Fred, listen, thanks so much for taking the time. I wish you guys the best of luck with your project. It sounds like you're off to a very strong start. And, cool. Yeah, thanks for your time.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate you interviewing
okay.
me.
Okay. Have,
all right, take
you
care.
Too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that does it for this episode of The Story of Digital Identity with Fred Stutzman of Claim ID. Next week, I will be presenting an interview with Eric Norlin and Joseph Jaffe. I think most of the people listening to this podcast knew who Eric Norlin is. Joseph Jaffe, however, maybe less of a familiar name. He wrote a book called Life After the 30-Second Spot and is a forward-looking and well-known thinker with regard to new media, marketing, PR, advertising, etc. And I want to bring these guys together to talk about some of the implications of digital identity systems and in an environment in which new media with syndication and all these types of new technologies are changing very rapidly, as both of these guys are forward-thinking individuals and very articulate on both of those topics. So I think that'll be a very interesting interview. Just want to ask people to, again, add themselves to the Frapper map. Great to see, for example, today, addition of somebody from Israel. It's just very encouraging to get that kind of feedback from people adding themselves to the map and just seeing where people are listening from. So I really do appreciate that. Even if you just put your name up there, don't even put a comment in, no big deal. And as always, just want to close out with my thanks to Eric Norlin and Phil Becker from digitalidworld.com, www.digitalidworld.com, for their support of this podcast, and to Matt Brown, the creator, composer of the digital identity theme music that is now accompanying this podcast. You can find his information at the Frapper Map, which you can go to www.thestoryofdigitalidentity.com. Scroll down, click on the Frapper map, and Matt Brown's information is located in Florida. So click on Florida. You can find his information there if you happen to need any compositions for any audio work you might be doing. And I think that about does it. Thanks very much for listening as always. Hope you have a good week. Bye-bye.